The church family, we're in an amazing season. I believe we're living in the greatest days on planet Earth. I truly do. And I know there's some issues and problems happening all around the world and maybe even in your personal life. But I believe we're living in the greatest season that the earth has ever seen. I believe it is time for the kingdom to arise. Amen. I believe that with everything in me. We got a gift for you today, church family. I mean a true, true gift. I want to bring up a man of God. I will not, cannot call him a guest minister. He's a dear friend to myself, to my wife and I, he and his wife. He is an elder of Victory Christian Center, a fellow elder, along with myself and multiple others. And God's impregnated him today. And he's going to bring forth a mighty, mighty word. I want you to get ready, church family, as I bring him out. Elder Jerry, come on up, man of God. Just walk right up there. Can y'all welcome Elder Jerry Thompson, church family? This man of God, I can't say enough about how much I love and how much I respect, how much I value Elder Jerry Thompson. His face may or may not be familiar to some of you. He has been retired from the Ohio State Highway Patrol for 8 years, so his face might be familiar. He might have pulled you over. I don't know.
Hopefully.
You might have 2-3 folk you arrested out there. I'm just saying. But God has cleaned him. He's washed him in the blood. It's all good. Amen. But now the man literally is dripping with favor. He's actually an instructor for the FBI. That's what he does now. And so that brought him out of retirement. And he literally travels around the country into all different places. Actually, be flying out today.
Yes.
Be flying out to Alabama.
Alabama.
Be flying out to Alabama a little bit later on today to do some instructing there for the FBI. So we're blessed. Amen?
Amen.
We're blessed to have Elder Jerry with us. I want you to stretch your hands forth. B, come on. You know what? Can you get up here, B? Is that all right? Can y'all just help her up there? Just make sure that's sturdy and stable. I certainly want him, you know, just to grab. Can y'all just clap your hands for his beautiful wife, B? Because I know he's ministering today, but you're one. You're one. Father, we just thank you for this man of God. We just lay hands upon him. Father, we prepare to receive from the man of God today. Bless him, use him mightily in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody say, I receive.
Of the word.
Elder Jerry. Amen, 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 amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. You may be seated for a second, and I do know the rules of the house, and when we get ready to present the word, that everybody, the first time I heard it, it kind of scared me, but I'm okay with it this time. I just thank Pastor Locke and Sister Gloria for just the opportunity, and I thank God for the church, Victory Christian Center, that we are part of. And again, just there are so many things that are happening that you may not be aware of, and just this is one of it, and this is part of it that happens here. And your pastor, your first lady, great people, people that I honor. I really, really honor them and where they have come and where they're going to, because God has taken them and you places. Likewise, I have to give my respect, and you may not understand it, but Locke's father, Mr. Beecham, he was my principal when I was in school. Now, he really didn't know me because I wasn't necessarily one of the bad kids. Not necessarily. I had my problems, but I wasn't one of the bad kids necessarily. Mr. Beecham, he'll say that. He'll be okay with that. This morning, as we bring the word, I am just impressed by God some time back that he had given me the word that I was supposed to speak. And I can actually give you the date, but that's not what's important. It's this time now that he has set for us to receive his word. And you better believe anytime the preacher is preaching or the teacher is teaching or the minister is ministering, he's not just talking to you, he's talking to himself. Yes, he is. Anytime. So this morning, the title of the message had a couple of them, and you got to kind of like whittle it down. And the title I started with was, "Whatever Happened to Nicodemus?" Everybody knows that scripture, or most of us know that scripture about Nicodemus. The other thing is, anytime you see TV, football game, basketball game, there's somebody in the stand, and they got this scripture that says, John. See, y'all know. And not only is it the scripture, but y'all even know what the scripture says. For God so that who shall, but. See, isn't that amazing that we know that scripture? And we see it all the time, but that's the end part, not the beginning. And there's a question that I have to ask is, what happened to Nicodemus? And that's what we're going to look at today as we partake in this word. Wait, I got to tell you what the other message was. It was, don't start and then don't finish. And then finally, I guess I whittled it down to, how are you going to finish the story? How are you going to finish the story? How are you? Yeah. Let's do this. Let us partake of the word. We're going to St. John chapter 3.
Hallelujah.
And the scripture reads, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now listen to what he said to him, but listen to Jesus' reply. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but when you read, does that really answer what he's asking? No, it doesn't. It's kind of like, where's this coming from? It really is. But Nicodemus, he said, saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Y'all, that's a fair question. That's a fair question. And I think any of us would ask that same question if someone said, you got to be born again. What? That don't make too much sense. I can't go back in my mother's womb. My mother wouldn't even take me back in her womb. I mean, come on. That just don't make too much sense, does it? But the scripture goes on, and Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Wait. Because we think that scripture says, and we'll interpret it this way, that we won't be born again. No, he said that you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Look at the scripture. Let's keep going. Let's take it to that next verse. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it come and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and not know these things? You are somebody important in Israel, and Nicodemus, you don't know these things? That's what he's asking him. It continues on, 11th. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, all that took place before we got to John 3:16, and now we're at John 3:16. And if you'll say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son not into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation: the light is come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Now watch this. The next verse says, after these things, Jesus and his disciples, they went into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Y'all, whatever happened to Nicodemus? Because it doesn't say anything about what happened to Nicodemus. He finished stating the word, and then the next thing they're saying, okay, they went to another land. It's like starting a story and not finishing the story. My wife will sometimes say, when we're talking, she'll say, and I'll start telling her something, and then I'll chase a squirrel or a rabbit, whatever it is, and then she'll say, oh, Jerry, I hate when you do that. Would you finish what you started? This is the scripture. And when I read this scripture, I'm saying, okay, so Nicodemus, you started with him as the subject, but now all of a sudden we don't know what happened to Nicodemus. You in another land. How are you going to finish this story? How are you going to finish this story? Y'all, check this out. Nicodemus, obviously, if you don't know, he was a Pharisee. He was really well known in the community for who he was. But see, you think I'm talking about Nicodemus, and I'm talking about you. And I'm not calling you the Pharisee, but I am saying that you are known in the community for who you are. Now, your community might not be my community, and my community might not be your community, but it's where you live. It's where you work. It's where you hang out from day to day. That's your community. And people know you. They know what you're supposed to represent. And this was with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Just a little bit of insight. The Pharisees, they began to learn the scriptures from youth. I believe it says from 4 to 6 years old, they begin to memorize the scriptures. They can remember it and quote it, verse, place, and just lay it out. And they were known as the great leaders. But here's the problem. They were the church. They were the religion. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationship. And you say, Jerry, what do you mean? What do you mean? See, I come in the church, y'all, I was scared to do anything. Because it was the do's and the don'ts. Don't do this. Do you better not do that. Oh, my God. If you do this, oh! Y'all know what I'm saying? Couldn't do nothing. Couldn't look crooked. Y'all, you going, man, I must have got saved 1,000 times. Every time we went to church on Tuesday and Sunday, you got to be saved. Oh, you looked at BC wrong. Oh, got to be saved. That's religion. Y'all, I was so scared. I'm being serious. I was so scared. Once I moved away, and I was moving away to run away, kind of like the prodigal, I'm going, whoo, the first time I did something and God didn't strike me. I went butt crazy. I'm being real. I started purposely sinning. I ain't get stroked. Ooh. I could do this too, okay? Because I was taught religion. I wasn't taught about relationship. Please check this. Please check this. Because Nicodemus, again, he was known. He was known. He had like a reputation. He was the one that was teaching the word of God. Yet there was something that Jesus was doing when he was living out his everyday life that had Nicodemus question everything that he had been taught and everything that he had learned, and in fact, everything that he was confessing. Wait. He knew the word. He could speak the word. He knew the do's and the don'ts, because that's the other thing the Pharisees looked at was, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, can't do this, oh, you should be like me. See, religion is about church. Relationship is about Jesus Christ. See, sometimes you just see what we do is we can put on a good game in the church. We know how to say the right things. We know how to look the right way. We can say amen the right way. And people don't know outside how you living. Please catch this. This is what drew Nicodemus. It was nothing else but how Jesus was living his everyday life. And he recognized that there was something different about this man that I've been talking about, but I'm not in relationship with, but there's something different, so different that because I'm somebody special in my community, I got to sneak at night to go and ask because I don't want nobody to see me. So let me go at night where nobody can see me. I got to find out, what is it? What is it? Because I know you got to be a man from God, because if you weren't, these things wouldn't be happening. That's happening. Woo, Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How are you living in your community where someone is asking, what's the difference? That's what the kingdom is about. It's not about, I accept Jesus. I hear Bishop Thomas say it all the time. If it was about just being saved, once we got saved, we just will die and go to heaven. It's not. It's about the kingdom. The kingdom that you live in. Where you watch, where you work. It's where you live your everyday life at. You know how you go to work sometime and you're like, oh, I can't stand these people. I hate these people. I don't want to be here. That's your ministry. Your ministry is not here in the church. Don't get me wrong. Yes, you have ministry and works in the church, but I want to be a minister. God has given you a platform right where you work and live every day. That's where it is. Y'all, wait. You're saying what? No, see, Jesus wasn't, he didn't float. There wasn't nothing special on his head. He was just a man like me and you. But the way he lived, there was a difference that somebody noticed in his life that they wanted to say, what is the difference? See, your community is where you work. Your community is what you do every day. It's where we oftentimes will complain. Don't nobody want nothing if you complaining? I hate work. I hate these people. I can't wait till I get this job. That's your ministry. That's your ministry. That's where God would have you to be, to let your light shine so someone might see something different and ask you, what is it? I don't understand. That's the door that opens. And you're able to say, you want to know what the difference is? It's Jesus. Y'all, nobody want to hear what you got to say. They want to see how you're going to live. You can say, you could talk all day. And in fact, that's what the Pharisees did. They talked all the time. They had rules for everything. In fact, you got to do this, you got to do this. The scripture, and I'm going to say it's in, let me find it, because I lost my place, but I'm right here. The scripture, in Ephesians 2. And the scripture says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. Wait. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we... Leave it alone. Watch. And the next piece says, so none of us can boast. Please catch this. The Pharisee Nicodemus, that's what they were known for, was boasting. Look how good I look. Look how I live. Look how I act in the midst of the people in the synagogue, and I just look so saved, don't I? Got people thinking that you saved. Got people thinking that you on another spiritual plane. Come on. It's about the kingdom. It's about bringing people into the kingdom. And the kingdom, I'll come back. God continued, salvation is not a reward, so none of us can boast. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us a long time ago. Y'all, people believe what they believe until there is something that causes them to shift how they believe. You're the one that's supposed to cause the shift. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have entered into the kingdom, then it's contingent upon you to live a life that someone else may question, what is the difference? It's not in the church. It's where you live, where you walk and talk every day. That's where God... Hey, you might just want to know why nobody come to church with you, because how you living? I don't want mess. Look, I can do bad all by myself. This is about the kingdom. It's about belief. Jesus lived such a life that Nicodemus, he had to recognize with all his knowledge that there was something different. What's different about you? What is different about you where you live, walk, and talk every day? Let's look at something. And I want to look at the word kingdom. And when we talk about kingdom, and it's up on the screen, kingdom, or the domain of the king. The God who created all things, therefore he owns all things, and things are his, and he rules over all things. He shall accomplish his purpose in all things. Kingdom, or the domain of the king, where the rule of the king extends, where his authority extends, where the king's authority is, there is kingdom. Just in case you didn't know, just in case, because you might not have known this, go to Colossians 1, and it'll be up on the screen. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from power of darkness and has translated us into, there's that word again, into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, because see, somebody didn't know this. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That makes him the owner of everything. So he's the king. And if he owns everything, that means everything is in the kingdom. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Just trying to make it clear so that you can understand that God created everything. If you created it, then you're the owner. If you're the owner, you have authority in everything that's taking place. I just read the kingdom where the domain of the king, where the king has rule. Y'all, this is where we live every day, in the kingdom. Let me keep going. I'm not going to violate your time and not going to run out of time. Look at this. Will y'all look at this? The king, whose authority, yes, the king's authority we're talking about, he is the ruler. He's the owner. He is ultimate. We are the creatures made by the creator. Look at this next little note. We should be under king rulers. Oh, now that's going to scare somebody. The king that owns everything, wait now, if you have accepted him as your savior and you have now entered the kingdom, you ain't in heaven, so you're in the kingdom if you have accepted him as your savior. He's the king and we're under the king. We rule under the king. To rule under is to obey the creator. Watch this. This is coming, so I got to say it. I remember, man, I'm going through the patrol academy, and we got these mean sergeants, and they're screaming at us and telling us what to do. And I won't say the guy's name, but I remember the sergeant told him to do something. He said, "You can't tell me what to do. My mama don't tell me what to do. How?" How you going to tell me what to do? We can laugh at it, but some of us won't hear what to do neither. My mama don't tell me what to do. We ain't talking about your mama. We're talking about the king. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Keep going. To obey the creator, the meaning of obey, just trying to make it clear, is to stand under. To stand under. To recognize that I am not God, but I stand under God. Now watch. Obey, the word obey, I'm just trying to be clear. This is not hard because God is a God of love. It is so good that we have a God that's not going to ask us anything that's going to hurt us or damage us. He's a God of love. It's not hard to obey someone who loves you. Keep going. So, obey, standing under. Look, it is to listen, not just to hear. Open to listen what God is saying to you in the kingdom, what you should do. Y'all, where you live every day, and I want to be clear, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have entered into the kingdom. This kingdom is about hearing God and doing what he would ask you to do. And it's not going to be anything that's going to cause you trouble necessarily, but it's so that he can expand the kingdom. And I got to go here again because it's where you work. Your light is supposed to shine where you work. It's easy to shine in the church. But this is a Sunday thing. But Jesus said the kingdom is every day. It would be real nice if we could live in the church, but we can't. Because if we could live in the church, this would be easy. It's about the kingdom. It's about your everyday walking, living, fulfilling out your purpose, whatever your purpose is, whatever your job is. That's the kingdom. If you have accepted him as your Savior. Let me keep going. What does he want of me? How can I further his love? That's what the kingdom is about. What does God want from me? How can I further his love? Please catch it. He's asking, how are you living? So someone like Nicodemus, who was really, really, really known in his community, still was able to recognize that there was a difference of what he had seen and heard of all the masters he had worked for and worked with. Y'all, this is what I'm talking about. How you living? How are you living? And I'm not talking about just in church. I want to be careful, but I'm going to say it. If you ain't living right, don't tell them you go to this church. Don't tell them. I'm speaking for Pastor Locke, but don't tell them. Because they're going to be wondering, what are you teaching over there? He ain't teaching you to live a hot mess. He's teaching you to hear the voice of God and to do what God has asked you to do. I got to make this a little bit bigger. If you ain't living right, don't even tell him you associated with VCC, okay? Because we one church, many locations. Put the bad name out on us. I'm being serious. Oh, I'm saved. You saved on Sundays. My Let's look at this. Let's look at this for a second. I got a quote. And this quote, somebody that I listen to a whole lot, his name is Malcolm Smith. The way that he speaks, and I'm saying it, it speaks to me. And Malcolm has this quote, and if you'll put it up there for me. Listen to this. Christianity is a person. Christianity has been reduced to a set of mental beliefs and resuscitation of facts. I'm pausing. A mental belief and a resuscitation of facts. Y'all ready? Y'all gonna help me? John 3:16. For God, well, that's the facts. And we can recite it. So resuscitation of facts. Y'all, I grew up in the church, and I know so much scripture. I might not know where it's at, but you let somebody begin that verse, and I can go whoosh. I can recite the facts. Look at this. Look what he says. So we study about God. We study about Jesus. We study about salvation. That's coming into the kingdom. That's being saved. We reduce everything to a formula. 10 steps to overcome temptation. You know, 5 ways to. 4 ways to have healing. What are you dealing with? The heart of what we're talking about is that the Jesus who rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and has poured out the presence, the person, the Holy Spirit, who is among us, please catch this, because if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit, you are the temple. No, we can recite it. We can recite it, but you are the temple. He is among us. He is in us. He is with you everywhere that you go, not just on Sundays. That is why you're supposed to live it out where you work. I want to be in ministry. You have a job, you're in ministry. I want to be in ministry. You got friends who ain't saved, guess what? You in ministry. No, I want to be in ministry. Wait. When you wake up in the morning and you go amongst people anywhere, guess what you is? You is in ministry. And the kingdom is about hearing what God is telling you to do in the ministry where you are at. Have you ever been somewhere, and I'm just being, it could be as simple as this. You ever been somewhere, and you might be coming in the door, I'm just talking for a guy, and the guy's coming, and the lady's getting ready to come, and you say, in your mind, it comes real quick, open the door. It ain't nothing big. But you don't open the door. And then you make an excuse for why you didn't. She wasn't going to appreciate it anyway, so why should I open the door? Y'all, that might have been your ministry for the day. I'm saying this because Jesus wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary that we're not supposed to be doing. He cared. He loved. He heard what the Father told him. Wait. You say, well, he was talking to the Father. I'm saying, well, you, if you have accepted him as your Savior, you talk to the Holy Spirit because he dwells on the inside. He just might say, you ever going down the street sometime, I'm watching stage because I ain't falling off, but you ever going, you driving down the road and construction is ahead. And that car didn't get in. Y'all laughing like y'all the ones that cut me off. What I'm talking about? You have that thought just that I should let this car, I ain't letting this car in. Should have been in the right place in the first place. Y'all, that might have been your ministry. It ain't the big things. It's not how I shout. It's not how I pray. It's not how I dress. It's not how I come to church. It's how I live each and every day. Come on. Oh, Lord. I got to get back. Look at this. It says he. He's not merely alive as a fact to be used to prove something. He's not merely alive so that we can pass an exam on the resurrection. Holy Ghost. Y'all read this. He's alive and that he's here and he's now. And Christianity is of people or persons who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, who has entered the kingdom, I'm interjecting, and intimately connected with God and talk to him and hear him and behold him, and he works in them, through them, and by them. That's what Christianity is about. How you living? Not on Sundays. There was something, and I shared it with the pastor. The last time I came to this church, and it was for the pastor's appreciation service. Y'all don't know this. Y'all don't know. And this is the thing. This is why we got to live it every day. I brought a young man with me. None of y'all, some of you might know, some of you don't know. I brought a young man with me who is seeking. He's seeking, kind of in a bad place right now. And he just knew because he left his hat on his head when he came into church. The first thing he was thinking that was going to happen, and somebody going to say, you better take the hat off, Pharisee. The other thing that he was feeling, and me and him, we had a long conversation, was that he thought because he wasn't dressed good enough that somebody was going to look down on him. And see, Pastor Locke, and I shared this with Pastor Locke, but I'm also sharing this with you, the church. Because the way he was greeted when he came in the door, the way that he was treated when Pastor said, go and tell somebody, good morning, I love you. Nobody, like, avoided him. The way that you loved in here, while everybody else is looking. I'm proud that I'm part of VCC. Is he necessarily saved yet? Not yet, but guess what? He's seeking because of you. He's seeking because how you treated him. Y'all, that's what Christianity is about. Where you live, walk, talk. Every day. I just want to share one more thing with you. I started out by asking what happened to Nicodemus. And if you check later on in scripture in Matthew's, and there's another, one of the other prophets referred to it, that when Jesus died, that Nicodemus, and it specifically says, the one who came at night, he was the one that beckoned for Jesus' body. So they left it in this particular John 3:21-21, they left it as a cliffhanger. It was a cliffhanger. Like, what happened? And I'm saying this now. I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't. And I'm asking, I ain't trying to be funny, but what's the show that everybody's watching right now? You got to see it. Seriously. What's the show? Anybody? Give me one. Empire. Okay. I've seen the commercials. Let's go Empire. And you know how you watching it, and I have never seen it, and I can say this. You watching it, and right about the time they get ready to do something, then they break to commercial. So that's the cliffhanger. Okay, it comes back from commercial, and they continue to show, and right about that most important part, see you next week. Cliffhanger. Would y'all look at this? God set this up before we were even on the earth. Look at the meaning of the name Nicodemus in Greek. Kick that up. The first is victory. Nike or Nick. Nike. Victory. Demos. The people. They left it as a cliffhanger because Nicodemus, God had him come in his infinite wisdom so that we could understand that the victory of the people, wait, your victory, the people's victory, that's what his name said. So we could say the man who had the victory for the people came to Jesus at night. After all of that, it came, now and only now am I able to go to John 3:16 and say, help me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish and have everlasting life. If you're not living a victorious life, the victory, the victoriousness, if that's a word, is in Jesus. That's where the victoriousness is. It's in Jesus. Look, I'm saying this, and I'm almost done. I really am almost done. Your victory, your everyday ministry, where you live, walk, talk, where you're known at in the community for whatever you're known at in the community, that's where you need the victory. It's not in the church. We're supposed to come together as a church. We're supposed to praise and worship as a church. All this is not about what we do in a church. It's about how you live your everyday life where you live. I'm going to ask again, how you living? Who as of late has said, there's just something different about you? That's what Nicodemus said. He said, there's just something different about you. I got to know why you don't do like everybody else. I got to know why you don't talk like everybody else. I got to know why there's something different. Can you tell me what it is? Now I say, for God so loved the world. And just so somebody knows, it doesn't say, for God so loved the church on Sunday. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'm just hoping, and I could go back to the scripture, but I don't even have to. The victory of the people. The victory of the people is in being born again. Being born again is entering the kingdom. And right now, this is the kingdom. Please, the kingdom is not just a Sunday place. A kingdom is an everyday place. I say this, I'm blessed. God has blessed me to travel, and I do. And I travel, was in Polson, Montana, and headed to Ozark, Alabama. You're like, where are they? Yeah, I don't know where they at neither, but I get there. And, y'all, I could so easily, when I get to the people and the men and the women that I'm in front of, it's so easy for me to say, ooh, I hate this place. I'm tired of this. That ain't Jesus. That ain't kingdom. And I'm saying, and I'm not saying it to say, oh, Jerry, no, no. I call my wife, and I'll tell my wife with tears in my eyes. When I'm doing, look, I don't preach when I'm out. I'm not preaching. I'm just living and doing what God has called me to do. I'm doing teaching, and just like I'm supposed to teach, I'm doing my job that they hired me to do, and it is almost without fail, everywhere that I go, somebody will come and say, you're a preacher, aren't you? There's something different about you. And God gives me the opportunity to speak in people's lives that I may never, ever see again. I'm not saying they get saved. But some plant, some water, but God bring in his time. Y'all, I'm not saying you got to go where you work with the Bible. Please don't do that. So spiritually minded, no earthly good. Just go be you. Go be that one who has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, who has entered the kingdom, and let somebody see a difference. Let somebody see a difference. Let somebody see a difference. As we end, and I'm done, I'm going to make two pleas. Two pleas. This first plea is that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're probably saying, what is he talking about? You can't understand it unless you enter the kingdom. If you aren't in the kingdom, none of this makes sense. It's kind of like asking somebody, what does it feel like to be wet? Can you really explain to somebody how it feels to be wet? Think about this. How would you explain being wet so somebody can understand? You can't do it. That's where he's saying the wind comes, you feel it, it goes. And after it goes, where does the wind go? Does it stop? Where does it go to next? Where's it coming from? You don't even know where it's coming from, but you know it's there. And that's entering the kingdom. There's no way to explain it until you're in it. And then when you're in it, you know you're in it. How do you explain to somebody what wet? If you're wet, how do you explain that? How does that feel that somebody else can understand? So my first plea is, and I'm asking this, if something that has said, or you may be here because somebody, you have seen a difference in them. Praise God. Well, that difference that you have seen in them is what I've been talking about this morning. It's about the kingdom. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand, if you would. Everybody, just stand. Please stand, if you can. And if you can, I understand. This first plea is, if you don't know Jesus Christ, or you haven't been born again, you haven't entered the kingdom, but you even today, from what something has been said, you feel that tug to say, I need to know what that difference is. I'm asking, and we ain't gonna beg, but I am asking if there's anyone here that wants to accept Christ as their Savior, would you just step out the aisle and come forward at this time? I'm gonna ask y'all to do something. I haven't asked you to do this either. Turn to your neighbor and just ask them, have they been born again? Just ask. Take it a little bit further. Don't be scared, because this is just everyday life. If you haven't and you want to accept them, tell them that you'll walk with them down here. Tell them. Let them know. You'll walk with them.
It's good.
And come on down with them. There's anybody. Just come on down right now.
Amen.
This is what...
Amen.
This is what the kingdom is about.
They're coming. Altar workers. Amen. It's still coming. To God be the glory. Come on, this is kingdom stuff. You all get excited. Ain't nothing greater than what is happening right now. Praise God.
Y'all, this is the second plea. If you know, because only you know your community, and only you know the people who are in your community where you work and live. I'm guilty. I don't get it right all the time. But I do listen to the Spirit and try to be right all the time. Help me, Jesus. But if you just need strength, and I'm going to say that, or a realignment in that area of where you work and letting your light shine outside of these doors, I'm asking you to come forward.
That's good.
Don't be scared, as they say, because we can do a better job of the kingdom. If we let our light shine in the kingdom, there will not be enough room in this place, because someone wants to know what is the difference. I got to say this, Pastor. Like, I got to say this, and
please,
I'm going to die. Get the opportunity to talk to leaders literally around the world. And you know what, y'all? You know what they say, who the worst people are to hire? Church folks.
Wow.
I ain't making it up. Because we could be the biggest complainers and the trouble causers, and we supposed to be in the kingdom.
Wow.
Come on. How you living? Watch. How you gonna finish the Nicodemus story? Because it's your victory. It's the people that you're meant to cause victory. Jesus. I want to do this for those who have come forward to accept Christ as their Savior for the first time. Would you just repeat after me? And everybody, repeat after me with them. Father God.
I acknowledge my sins.
Lord, real simple. You say, I ain't never heard it this way. That's okay.
It's good.
He ain't asking for something special. Real simple, Lord. Would you be the Lord and Savior of my life? Lord, will you open my eyes to the kingdom? And as I'm in the kingdom, Jesus,
let me hear your voice.
Let me understand. And Lord, help me to obey. What you would have me to do in the kingdom. Lord, right now.
Lord, right now,
I acknowledge that you are Lord of my life.
You are Lord of my life.
And I accept the salvation.
And I accept the salvation.
The born again experience.
The born again experience.
That's happening in me.
That is happening in me.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, give God some glory. You know, I want you to understand. Amen.
Pastor,
healthy. Let me give God the glory.
Got to real quick. Everybody else who came forward. Father God, we pray right now in the name
Come
of
on.
Jesus. We agree, Father God.
Yes.
With the pulling down of the strongholds in the community that we live yes, and work in. Father God, we ask that you would let our light shine.
Yes,
Father
Lord.
God. Help us to be the church outside of the church.
Yes.
Father God, that someone might see and ask, what must I do to be saved?
Mm.
What is that difference in your life?
Mm.
Draw, Jesus. Draw people unto us
yes.
where we're at. In our ministry, where we're at. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Listen, if you're out there today, I'm certainly giving God all of the glory, praise, and honor for those who just gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Can we give the Lord a hand clap just for that? There should be a roar in this place. You all know, Jesus said, I will leave the 99 just for that one. Just for that one. Yeah, the second altar call was just so important because it spoke of those of us who are in the workplace, in the work world, and have a ministry literally in your workplace. And you need a stronger empowering of who you are so that it literally leaks on where you are. That's what is happening, because honestly, oftentimes ministry is not done only via your mouthpiece. People are watching more of what you do than what you say. Amen?
Amen.
And I know we've got a number of believers in this place right now, and you need more empowerment. What do you need? You need courage. You need confidence. You need strength. The reality is, I won't make you raise your hand, but there's some people that you work with, they don't even know you say. They don't even know you say. They send the nasty jokes to you just like they sent them to John. It takes courage, Elder Jerry. It does. Because the moment you tell everybody at your job or wherever it is that you minister that you say, you set yourself apart. And really, you get to a place, Elder Jerry, where you got to be okay with being criticized,
yes.
ostracized,
yes,
talked about,
yes,
spit on every now and then,
yes,
made the butt of all the jokes. That old Jesus freak. All he do is come in here and just think he this, that, and the other. She thinks she's something. I sure am something. And God, I sure am. I sure do think I'm something. She thinks she the stuff when she walk in there. Well, I am something according to God. I'm the head and not the tail. It's all about the kingdom. Man of God, we cannot thank you enough. Oh. I'm telling you, as your husband, as your Boaz was delivering the word, I heard the Lord speak unto me, and he called you something. He said, he's an elder statesman. You're a statesman, says the Lord. But I heard the Lord say unto me, Elder Jerry, that I'm going to take you further than where I've even taken you. Why are the Lord saying that your life, your ministry is going to be in demand? people are going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Because the Lord says, I'm placing a demand upon your life right now to share the goodness of the gospel. The Lord says, I'm just using your life and your occupation. That's just a vehicle that I'm using. But I hear the Lord saying, get ready, man of God. I'm about to take you to places you only dreamed and imagined. For the Lord says, there's going to be a shift in your life. For I know right now you're teaching actual strategy with FBI in courses and classes. But I hear the Lord saying, get ready, man of God, because I'm downloading more word in you. Because the Lord says, I'm going to take you around the world and you're going to be ministering. The Lord says, even within these classes, there's going to be one that's going to come to you. I hear the Lord saying, within these next number of trips, somebody's going to come to you and they're going to say, you ain't going to say a word about Jesus, but they're going to see Jesus shining onto you and they're going to come up to you and they're going to say, man of God, what is on your life, I need on my life. Would you lead me into the salvation prayer? So get ready, man of God, for the Lord says, I have blessed you and I have favored you beyond even what is natural. But there's a supernatural anointing upon your life, and we thank you for pouring in to this house today. We bless you. We bless your wife. We bless your household. We bless your daughter in the name of many of y'all didn't know. That's Elder Jerry's daughter right there, the beautiful Brittany. Somebody give God some glory in this place. Hallelujah. Awesome. 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 Boy, that's rich teaching. That's rich teaching. I was a student today, writing and taking notes and just preparing my heart and my spirit. Again, Elder Jerry, we thank you so much. To God be the glory, amen, for the things that he has done. Hopefully, we are all equipped, amen, to go out into the workplace tomorrow and to leak some glory on somebody. Amen, amen. Well, each and every week, we get this privilege, opportunity, and time. First of all, be safe and such, and during this holiday season, we're just a couple of weeks away from Christmas. You all know we will have Christmas Eve service, 10 o'clock. It'll be a 90-minute service. Usually, we're right around noon, which is right around now. But Christmas Eve will be a 90-minute service, 10 to 11:30. So we're certainly looking forward to that time. Obviously, we've got next Sunday ahead of that. But lift your hands. This is truly one of our most favorite parts of today, is to speak the blessing into your life. And again, you all have heard me say, we're not praying for you. We're speaking the blessing. Prayer is prayer, and blessing is blessing. I've learned that from my pastor. So we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming, and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key. That is God intended for your very purpose. We bless this season of your life. Somebody say, it's my best season. May you be empowered. May you be full of authority. May you be full of strength to go out into your workplace and tell about the good things of Jesus Christ. We bless your homes, your jobs, your finances. We bless your health. I speak health and I decree health over every able body in this place right now. We just speak that and decree it by the mighty name of Jesus. We tell you each and every week, God has given us one amazing life to live. All we can do is live it the very best that we can. And guess what? We're going to be so excited, so energetic, so full of life, so much so that you do what? I need you to love on somebody. Please do so. Meet my wife and I in the hallway. We just love to lose some love on you. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Have an amazing week.